sat down with the doctor to find out the test results. And the doctor said, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which do you want? And the patient said, oh, doctor, I can't decide. You decide. You just tell me. The doctor thinks about it for a while and he says, well, they might name a disease after you. That's good news and bad news. I don't know if today's sermon is good news or it's bad news. But the church today in the United States might be going through a little bit of a crisis. I had two meetings this week with various people, and they were pastors, and I found out some information. First of all, I just found out this week that in Tucson, on any given Sunday morning, only 10% of the people go to church. I thought it was much higher than that. Now, it's probably a lot higher here in Vail than it is in all of Tucson, but I was very surprised by that. Now, is that good news or is that bad news? Well, the good news is that the harvest is ripe and the fields are plentiful. Or how about this? I met with another pastor who was sat on a board, this board was looking at how to do ministry in rural churches in the Midwest that are very small. Because what they found out is that it takes about a church about the size of 100 to afford a full-time pastor. And if you look across the United States today, about 50% of U.S. churches across all denominations are about 75 or less. My friends, a big change is coming. In our own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they commissioned a study to figure out how to deal with this change. At one point, the church was growing, and now it's not growing anymore. And what's the cause of this? And they released the study this last year, and basically what they said is this. When we were growing hugely, it was because we were having a lot of babies. We're not having a lot of babies anymore, so it's okay. So the solution, all of you young parents here, 10 minimum, all right? But it's interesting, if you listen to a speech that was given by the Texas Mission District Executive, he says that the roots of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have always been very missional. And the time that we were growing the most is when we were focusing on the mission of the church. And he disagrees with that. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Church income, the amount of money that churches have to deal with to do things in the world today, is down. And the cost of doing business in the world today is up. And my friends, the world is changing around us. So, what does that mean? What does that mean for the church? What does that mean for Christ Lutheran Vail Church here in Vail, Arizona? Well, that's what we're going to talk about over the next 7 weeks. Because over the last several months, several leaders in the church and the staff have been meeting with many, many, many hours looking at Scripture, looking at who we are, to come up with what is the guiding mission and vision of Christ Lutheran Vail that's going to take us into the 21st century. And today is the launching of that mission and that vision. And I must tell you that I am very, very excited because I believe that God has positioned this church, Christ Lutheran Vail, to be a church in the 21st century to lead people out of darkness, to be the hands and feet of God, into God's marvelous light. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about our mission and our vision. And to do that, we're going to start in Scripture with the gospel lesson that we read today, where Jesus tells his disciples, right before he's ascending, the very, very last thing he tells them is this: all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. It's that simple. That is the last thing that Jesus told us. Go and make disciples. So in this congregation, as we looked at all the different things, we said we believe that is key to our mission statement, that we should make disciples. But as we've just gone through the book of Galatians and we've learned that God loves his children and he lives in grace, we've added a word in there. And the word we've added is loving, so that we are called here at Christ Lutheran Vale to make loving disciples. And we'll be talking more about this over this next 7 weeks, so I'm not going to delve into it deeply right now. But the metaphor that we have for this, or the analogy or the picture that we have for loving disciples, is actually on your bulletin this morning. And it's a picture of a tree. If you want to look at your tree this morning, you can notice that it has roots. And the roots are there to help grow the tree, to get the nutrients that it needs so that it can grow. It needs water, it needs nutrition, it needs sunlight, it needs carbon monoxide. And if we're really to be a good tree, it needs somebody to come along every once in a while and prune us. And what happens when all of those things are together is you'll see little tiny things on the tree. We'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. Make loving disciples. Make trees that are being nourished and bearing fruit. So that's the mission of Christ Lutheran Vale Church. Be loving disciples. But to be a church in the 21st century, we need to actually delve a little bit deeper because, as I've said, the amount of resources is declining and the amount of need is increasing. And churches all across the world will be struggling to make ends meet. We need to learn how to do more with less. Why? Because who does Jesus say we need to go to? Go ye therefore and make disciples of whom? All nations. That's right. Now, is that just our neighborhood? Or is that everywhere? It is everywhere. When Jesus said, go make disciples, it was to every corner and nook and cranny in the world. Now, do you think Jesus expected that he would do all the disciple making, or maybe even the disciples would do all the disciple making? I did a little calculation. I figure if the disciples were with Jesus for 3 years, probably around 3 years, that's basically 1,000 days. And if it's 1,000 days and they were probably sleeping about maybe 8 hours a day, that means that they spent 16 hours a day for 1,000 days with Jesus. So it was about 16,000 hours. That's all they got. 16,000 hours. Now, I probably work maybe, I don't know, 2, 3, 4,000 hours a year. So for me to make one disciple, I have to work 4 years to make one disciple. Or maybe I could surround myself with some people and make more than one disciple, but I'm limited in my time. And what's really interesting, today's confirmation, and we have had these people coming for 3 years to Bible study, to all sorts of different things, to learn what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus. And I added it up, and of that 16,000 hours, you have had about 150 hours. That's about it. You got a long way to go. I know that's terrible, but so do we all. So do we all. The vast majority of discipleship that happens in your life is probably coming from somebody other than your pastor. It could be your parents. It could be your teachers. It could be the internet. It could be anything. It's hard to know. But that's a lot. That's a lot. And what that means is that it can't all be me. It can't all be the staff. It can't be the band. It can't be the confirmands. It's all of us. It's all of us working together to create loving disciples in the Vale area. It can't be just me, it's all of us. And so today, I'm commissioning each of you to learn what it means to be a disciple in your own life and to be activated to help make disciples in the world around us. But there's even more. Because it says here, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. So there's a teaching component here. Now, what's interesting is that 100 years ago, if you wanted to know what the pastor thought about something, you basically had to walk to church on Sunday morning, and it could have been anywhere from a mile to 2 miles to 10 miles. It could have been a long walk. Well, probably not 10 miles. And then you had to sit in the pew, and you would hear what the pastor has to say. And you would hear God's word and scripture and all that. And that's the way that it worked for most of Christian history, except for the last 100 years, technology has taken over, right? Now, we have a hurricane that I couldn't remember the name of it. Somebody reminded me this morning. It's Hurricane Irma, because I've been gone for the last few days. And a Hurricane Irma is coming through Florida, causing all sorts of havoc and destruction. And immediately you've got people on the ground in the middle of the hurricane broadcasting what they think about the hurricane. And the world around us is talking about the hurricane. And what's God's response to the hurricane? What's the Christian response to the hurricane? How are we going to deal with the hurricane? And we, folks, if you're thinking that it's just going to be once a week to hear what the pastor thinks about the world around you, by next week, when we find out what the destruction of the hurricane is, we might be to the next disaster. We might be to the next thing. We have no idea. The world's going by so quickly. How is it that we can teach all that I've commanded you? We have these confirmands this morning. And the thing I struggle with is, it's crazy, but I'm trying to teach them to deal with the world as it is today, with the challenges that I think I see today. But we know that there's some challenges coming up in this world around us that we haven't even thought about. Things that they're going to have to deal with, where you're thinking, they're going to have to deal with that. My friends, the youth of today are going to be dealing with things that you can't even possibly imagine. And they're going to have to make decisions about how to follow Jesus and how to live in a world that is going to be vastly different than even the world today. And so, therefore, a church of the 21st century needs to be highly connected in every way possible so that we can also be a voice on the public arena to let people know what the church says about the culture around us. And there are some great voices out there, but this church needs to be a voice out there, which means that me, as the pastor and the staff and all of you or whatever, will need to be activated to use technology as much as possible so that we can tell people what God says about the world around us. Now, many of you know that maybe you don't know this. I have a Facebook account, but I don't like Facebook. It's mean. I see stuff on Facebook that really irk me. And so I shut it off, and I go months without looking at Facebook. My daughter comes home, and she says, "Why aren't you on Facebook?" And I've got like a world, I think, and it says 175 underneath it. And she's like, "Dad, you need to look at that stuff." It's like, "I don't want to look at that stuff." But she's right. I need to look at that stuff. I need to be engaged. I need to figure out what it is that people are dealing with, and the church needs to have a response to that also. If we're going to be a discipling church that looks at all nations, and if we're going to look at teaching people to obey all that I've commanded you, we have to use every measure of technology, we have to use every available resource at our hands to lead this church into the 21st century. We have to use technology to our advantage. And so, as an aside to that, we have started to produce videos on the internet that you can see on our website that talk a little bit about the mission and the vision of Christ and the Veil Church. You're all welcome to go and look at that. You're welcome to go to our YouTube page or to our Twitter. We don't have a Twitter. But if we have a Twitter, once we get the Twitter, you can go to Twitter and see the tweets, because I'll be tweeting sweet tweets or something like that. Just go to the website, go to the bottom, you'll see all the different things that we have. And then the last one is this: teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. And this is really key. Jesus says, "For lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm a little bit nervous And the reason why I'm nervous is because I've done church the way I've done church my whole entire life, but I think that that might change. The things that we concentrate on, the gospel will never change, the message will never change, but how that interacts with the society around us might change a little bit. And as we start moving forward with our mission and our vision, we will be looking at every ministry that we do at Christ Within Veil and make sure that it's laser-focused on the vision and the mission. And we might make a tweak here or there. And we might cause people to be upset here or there. And Satan might grab onto that and try to create factions of people here or there. And I'm a little bit nervous about that. But the fact is, Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus has called us as his own. We are his beloved children, and there is no power on earth that can separate us from his law, from his love. Well, and his law too, but his love. He loves each and every one of us so much. He cares for us so much that he has redeemed us just as we are. And folks, that gives us the strength and the power to move boldly forward to love the world around us as he's called us to love. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm a little bit excited because I know that God will walk us, Jesus will walk us through this process. And folks, I believe that this church is well positioned to be a church in the 21st century. We have not figured everything out, but I'll tell you what we have. We have incredibly good people in this church. We have incredible oaks of righteousness, trees that have been planted by the living streams of water that are bearing fruits of righteousness in this congregation, and I see him all the time, and that is a huge blessing. We have a world around us that so desperately needs to hear the gospel message. As for me personally, I'm actually, I think, in the best shape I've ever been in my life. I'm in good health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. I am just really in a really great place, and God has filled me so much with his richness and his love. It's overflowing. I absolutely love it. So I'm excited today to turn over chapter 1 of Christ Lutheran Veil and begin chapter 2. And that begins today. May God richly bless each of us as we move forward in the mission to make loving disciples, because Christ is love. In his name, amen.